Bobby and Sherry has worked real hard for us in this church. Bobby's ordered dinners. Matter of fact, we're finding a lot of things that he's done that's, keeping up with the money is one thing, and that's a big help. But also the other things that go along with it. It's probably beyond recognizing all the different aspects of what Bobby has done for us. And done it well and kind of kept us straight in the business meeting and different things that's helped a lot. And Sherry has led worship. In my heart, I don't know many things that's more important than the worship in the church, and led by what the Lord laid upon her heart. And that means so much. We're going to miss them so much. We're going to pray for you guys after this message, because it's something we must do. And as I started this message, I thought, it's not so much our wonderful prayers, but our wonderful Father, who we pray to. And that's what I want to address this morning, is praying to our Father. I hope you all had wonderful fathers. I know many of you did, because I've known many of them. It's tough when you don't have a wonderful father, because it's hard to realize how great God is. My dad was... He was amazing and cared for us and worked hard. Without a great education, he worked double hard, but he knew what the Word of God said about providing for the family, and he did that faithfully. The word Abba in the Aramaic means daddy or papa. Debbie, Terry, and Jan, when they're referring to Jim, it's daddy. That always kind of, that's amazing, daddy, means a lot. Something that struck me even more was, when I was a kid, I had grown uncles that were really, hardworking and kind of tough individuals. But when they saw Grandma Sailor, it was mommy. And I thought, whoa, there's a tender spot there. And if you said anything about mommy, you could be in big trouble with those guys. But to have the relationship, I've known some families where it was so formal, and father, and I respect God enough to call him father, but I'm so thankful that we've been given the opportunity to call him daddy God or papa God. So that Paul is saying, when you accept Jesus as Savior, you're adopted into God's family. You become his child, and he becomes your heavenly father. The relationship is so deep and so personal that you can call him daddy or Abba Father, Papa God. If you want to look in the book of Romans chapter 8, and we'll read 14 through 17. We'll read those verses. And the word of God says... This first verse is so important. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And listen, if you're a lady, don't worry. You're a part of that. Sons and daughters. We belong to God. As many as are led by the Spirit. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Let's pray. Precious Savior, we bring honor and glory to your name. You're holy, and we want to worship you in the beauty of your holiness. Lord, accept our hearts today. Accept, Lord, that we come to hear your word and to be strengthened. And Lord, that our faith will grow in you, and that we will always lift up your holy name. We bring, Lord, before you our hearts and our needs. Your blessing upon Henry, your strength, O God, today. And we, Lord, your special blessing on Bobby and Sherry. We ask in Jesus' name, the name that is above every name, most precious, most wonderful name, Jesus. We honor you today. Amen. I've always enjoyed this part of the book of Romans, chapter 8. And verse 14 is a mighty verse. This is the way we ought to live our Christian life, led by the Spirit. Last Sunday night, Debbie and I listened to a broadcast from Schweigert's church, and it was Lauren Larson. How many knows who Lauren Larson is? He is the father of the singers, pretty much. There's a number of singers, Joseph and Rachel and Grace. And they're wonderful singers, and Lauren can sing himself, but he preached on the Holy Spirit. And he was very careful to let us know that when you're saved, the Holy Spirit is with you. And he was very careful to go on and say, but that's not the baptism into the Holy Ghost, which comes with absolutely no other way than with the utterance in another language, speaking in tongues. But if you're led by the Spirit and you're fully, I mean, controlled by the Spirit. Paul was preaching to the Corinthian church who had been led by demons. They knew demon power. They were pagans. A lot of times we think, oh, they were just worshiping nothing. No, they were worshiping the devil. And the devil was empowering them in different ways as much as he could. There's the story that just is amazing to me about a missionary to Mexico, and it was a Brother Kincaid, a Pentecost Church of God missionary, I forget his name actually, but he said that in Mexico that there were witch doctors, and they had evil spirit, evil power, and they were pointing their fingers at bottles and going boom or pow, and the bottle would explode. That's the power that the devil has. Contrasted to when Jesus comes, he saves, he heals, and he brings deliverance. There's no breaking bottles unless there's a reason for it. I mean, God can do anything. But this brother said what he did was he began to walk behind these people as it was their turn to go pow or bang. And he said, Jesus, in your name and by your Spirit, bind this power. And he said it was bound. And they could point and they could do whatever, say whatever, and it was bound. I want us to understand that there is demon spirit, but those that are led by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, have real power and life in that. And that relationship that we take as we've come to the Lord, as we're adopted into the family, it gives us a closeness to God. God is not pushing us away. God is saying, come on near. Come on in. There was a fella in Texas that lived on the corner. He worked on lawnmowers. And I'd come and knock on the door, and he said, come on in this house, Jim Haynes. And I always thought, well, that's an interesting greeting, you know, but to be welcomed, to come on in. And that's the way God is. He's drawing us closer to him. Come on. And if you have something on your heart, you can share it. I remember times where I had needs, and I'd go to my dad, and I'd say, I need a couple $300, and he'd open up his wallet and help me out as much as he could. And I'm thankful that we were able to help him at the end of his life in the things that he needed. But oh my goodness, you know, if he didn't have it, he still wanted to help. But God is different because God has all power. And he's able to help when even our earthly parents cannot. But we need to realize how loving and how giving and how wonderful our Heavenly Father is. We've come into the family and we're provided for by him. We can be intimate with God and sharing our heart. And just like our earthly fathers. Now I want to read another verse in the book of Mark, chapter 14 and verse 36. And this verse is in Jesus, I would say, most difficult time. He was in the garden just before he was going to be taken to the cross. And he said in Mark 14:36, Abba, Father. He used that close term. Jesus could use that in a way that we can't even touch. He who had known only the Father and his power forever. We can't go back eternity enough. Forever he had known only the power and the presence of his Father. And now he's on earth and the cross is before him. He said, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. If that's a possibility or a part of your will. But nevertheless, not as I will, but what you will. I think Jesus prayed this prayer for us. I don't think he was, some have said he's trying to get out of going to the cross. No, he came to die. He came to do that. That was his mission. That was his purpose. But I think he did it for us that we always should submit to the will of God. God will not violate the free will of man. How many knows that stops blessing? The free will. You could look around and you could probably say, oh, I know that person over there is stubborn. It's always easy to see stubbornness in someone else. But I think we all could be a bit stubborn. And so we have a free will that God will not violate. And what becomes our job in our relationship to the Lord? It's yielding. Now, I could do a seminar on street signs, what stop means, because we have a lot of drivers that don't pay attention to stop. Yielding, they think yielding means merge. It really doesn't. But I'm not going to go there because it aggravates me and probably aggravates you too. But yielding means that you prefer the greater one, and that's God. That's our job. Man wants to control God's kingdom. Man wants to lay it out, line it out. That's why there's a lot of churches today that are full of very intellectual people. You say, what's wrong with that? Not a thing. Not a thing until they start wanting to control what's done by God. When those people say God doesn't heal anymore, we've got the Word and that's all we need, and we've got eternity. No, that's not what the Word of God promises. The Word of God promises healing. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. They'll speak in new tongues, cast out demons and drink deadly things, and if a snake bites you, it'll not hurt you. Jesus laid it out that way. So why has it changed? It hasn't. Unless man is trying to control that. We Pentecostals used to get on the more formal churches by saying, oh, they have a program and they have to follow it. And yet, if you're not careful, we follow a program too. We do the same things. And thankfully, sometimes the Lord comes in and we submit, we yield to what he wants to do in our service and in our lives. And we need to be thankful that we have that understanding. God's perspective on this service is eternal. Our perspective on this service is here and now. We know we're going to go. We've got another hour before we eat. So I'm not going to take all of that hour. Everybody's probably happy about that. But our perspective is here and now. Brother Smith preached a long time ago about a not whole Christian. That what they were doing is they were looking. Have you ever gone to an event and you couldn't get in? You didn't want to pay whatever it cost to get in. So you looked through a crack in the fence or through a knot hole. And through a knot hole, you can only see so much. But God sees everything in our life from a position of here, now, and throughout eternity. Oh, what a perspective he has. So I don't want to ask a man who's a not whole viewer for a perspective when I can talk to my Father and say, God, what is this? And how should I walk and how should I go? Some of those not whole men are not headed to. And so you don't want to get into that. You want to let God be your guide and your director. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons, the daughters of God. Now, if you want to turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter 7 and verses 7 through 11. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible because I had that set up on my computer and I read it and I liked it. I looked at a couple others and said, no, Amplified says it pretty good. And this is part of the scripture that Jesus and I, we probably used this in the last few weeks, but we're going to use it again because I want to get to a point. Verse 7 says, ask and keep on asking and it'll be given to you. And it says, seek and keep on seeking and you will find. You know what? I like that. Ask and keep on asking and it'll be given to you. How many can hang on and ask a little bit more? There's doctrines that say if you ask more than one time, you don't have any faith. But those doctrines don't follow the words of Jesus. Jesus said that the man that went to his neighbor kept on until the neighbor gave him what he wanted. And the little lady that went before the judge kept on bothering him until she got what she wanted. Sounds to me like Jesus was okay with asking more than once. And he prayed three times in the garden. I just think that, see, man gets in the way. Do you see that? Man gets in the way. They create all this trouble and obstacle. Keep your craziness to yourself and let's go by the word of God, right? That's the best way. So knock and it shall, and keep on knocking and the door will be opened. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him that keeps on knocking it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks bread, will instead give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he instead give him a snake? I think that's interesting. Now, if my kids ask for a fish, I might substitute a hamburger because I like hamburger better than fish. I think that's a good thing, but never a snake. I don't care that much for snakes. But if verse 11 says, if you then being evil, and that is sinful by nature, as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children. This is the point I wanted to get to. How much more will your Father who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give what is good and advantageous to those who keep on asking him. So Jesus is encouraging, keep on asking. He said, well, I've been praying a long time for something. There was a lady in the there was a lady who visited our church in Alameda. She wasn't there all the time. She's from Bakersfield. She was our pastor's sister, 88 years old. And she had been praying for her husband to get saved. Now, 88, man, you could have had 60 or so anniversaries. She had been praying all that time for her husband to be saved. And she kept on praying. And it was 2 or 6 months before he died, he got saved. You say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is she didn't stop. The big deal is what she wanted. That man has eternity with the Lord and with her because she didn't stop. We can't stop. We can't stop. We can't give up. We can't let it go. We got to keep praying, especially for the souls of our family and our friends. Luke mentions that God will give the Holy Spirit to him that asks. And the Holy Spirit is a great blessing. Big, big deal with God. And we need to have that confidence that if we ask that the Lord will touch us with his Spirit and with all the things that we're seeking. Now, how many knows that we could go wrong with this by what you ask for? How many has ever asked for something you probably didn't need? I have. I'm probably the worst of all. I've asked for, oh, never mind, you probably think I'm crazy already, and I don't want to prove it with that. ask and it'll be given to you implies that we have a heavenly Father who has resources that are inexhaustible. My resources are exhaustible in a hurry, but God's not. God's are not. He created the heaven and earth, and he speaks of things that don't exist as though they are, and they will come because he has that creative power. So we seek, we ask, we seek, and we knock, and we have a Father in heaven that is perfect that will honor us. One more scripture before we get to the last. So this is second to the last. In the Revelations chapter 5 and verse 8, this is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. I think I could pick a verse for every time we stand before you. But verse 8 says, "And when he had taken the scroll," and boy, this is a big time. This is a big thing in heaven. Big thing. "After the rapture of the church," this is the next big thing. I'm stealing from Apple, but that's all right. That's all I'm going to steal from them. This is the next big thing. "He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb," which is Christ. John looked and said, or they pointed out a lion of Judah, and John said, "I looked and I saw a lamb as though he had been slain." That's Jesus. "Each one having a harp and a golden bowl full of fragrant incense, which are the prayers of the saints," God's people. This is also Amplified Bible. "The prayers of the saints." So your prayers will be stored in the cloud. Boy, the cloud's a big thing. I know very little about the cloud. How many's heard about the cloud? It's big. I don't know what it is, but it's big. I had a guy explain the internet to me, and when he got through, I said, "Huh, that's interesting." Didn't understand. He said there's these big rooms and there's servers, and I'm thinking, interesting. Yeah, that's, I don't know what it is. I don't know where it's at, but there is an internet. I believe in the internet because I've used it, but I don't understand it. Don't understand the cloud, but I know one thing, that when you pray, God keeps your prayers. They're more than recorded, they're contained. And I believe that those prayers are something that God may replay every now and again. Like in the book of Esther, and the king got to where he couldn't sleep and he reread some documents and it saved Israel. Isn't that amazing? But we've got those prayers, and they're very important. And they're like fragrant incense. You know that when the priest offered the incense before the Lord, they took coals off of the brazen altar where the sacrifices were, and they took these coals and then they poured over them the oil and the perfume, and it offered a sweet-smelling offering to the Lord. And this is what our prayers are like. He likes our prayers. Praise God. The world may not like our prayers. Who cares about them? We're talking eternal stuff here. God loves our prayers, and it's to him a sweet fragrance. They offered this at 9 o'clock in the morning with the morning sacrifice, and they offered it again at the evening time at 3 o'clock. Jesus was hung on the cross at 9 o'clock, and he died at 3 o'clock. And the veil was torn asunder. No more was there a need for a sacrifice because Jesus paid all the price. So we have our prayers stored. Now I want to come to the last thing that I'm going to read to you today, and it's a prayer. It's a prayer that goes back all the way to Moses and Aaron. If you want to look with us in the book of Numbers, I feel sorry for the book of Numbers because it follows the book of Leviticus. People start off, and boy, they can read Genesis and Exodus. They're so much exciting than Leviticus. It's a book of the law, and it's tough. And the book of Numbers, I think, gets cheated sometimes. Deuteronomy, too, possibly. But this is Numbers. And this is what God instructed Moses to instruct Aaron to do. And then the Lord spoke to that. This is Numbers 6. Did I tell you where? Isn't that amazing? Can mention a book and it's got all those chapters, but let's look at chapter 6. And let's look at verse 22 and let's go through 27. We'll read those few verses. And it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the Israelites, say to them. Isn't that neat? This is God telling how to pray for the Israelites. How many of you is thinking, we're not Israelites? That's true. But in the book of Hebrews, it says we have a better covenant than they did. So we get all these benefits plus, okay? So if you want to argue that, go ahead. Argue it with yourself because I'm not interested. We have better things, but we also have these things. Let's take it. Let's run with it. How many wants a blessing? Okay, so here's what they said. This is what they were to say. The Lord bless you and keep you. Now, amplify it again. So a little bracket that says protect, sustain you, and guard you. The Lord bless you and keep you, protect you, sustain you, and guard you. The Lord make his face shine upon you with favor and be gracious to you. Again, the bracket. Surrounding.
You go through a lot of documents, emails, and attachments every day.
I cannot believe this phone. It is on silent, and it broke the code. We're going to have to deal with it. Surrounding you with loving kindness. So the Lord make his face shine upon you with favor and be gracious to you, surrounding you with loving kindness. Boy, doesn't that sound good? Just like a big hug from God, his grace. The Lord lift up his face upon you with divine approval and give you peace, which is a tranquil heart and life. And so Aaron and his sons shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So we want to put Jesus' name upon every one of us and of you. I want that blessing too. So the Lord bless and keep you, protect you, sustain you, and guard you. The Lord make his face shine upon you with favor and be gracious to you, surrounding you with loving kindness. The Lord lift up his countenance, his face upon you with divine approval and give you peace, a tranquil heart and life. We need peace. We live in a time where there's no peace. There's turmoil everywhere, confusion. God gives peace. And so Aaron and his sons shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We want to identify with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Debbie, would you come to the piano? We're going to pray, and then we're going to ask Bobby and Sherry to come forward, and we're going to all pray for them. But Lord, we thank you for this word, and we thank you for this, your people. We pray your blessing and your strength upon each and every one. We need you, Lord. We cannot do as well without you as we can with you. And we seek your mercy. And Lord God, for every one of our needs and the shortcomings that we have, help us. Dear God, direct us and let us be led by your Spirit. Strengthen and bless your church. Lord, let's not look at the things that surround us and the things that are missing, but Lord, let us look at you who has nothing missing. In your part, it's all good and all well. Let us honor you and praise you, and our part is to yield to your Spirit and to follow you, your word, your Spirit. We bring honor and glory to you, Lord. I pray blessing. I pray things will visibly and physically change for your church. Lord, that our bodies will be strengthened and our minds will be strengthened. Lord, that we'll be blessed by you and encouraged, and we honor and give you glory. You're so worthy of our love. You're so worthy of our praise. And we want, Lord Jesus, to give you that. We want to yield to you today. Help us, Lord, to do that. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Bobby and Sherry, would you mind coming? And we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God will bless this change in your life and give you strength and health and new adventures. How many likes adventures? I've been on some that's been kind of tough, but we want this one to be wonderful. More grandchildren, presents, more, just more of everything good. Just wake up every day and God's presence and power be with you. So let's start with this. The Lord bless and keep you, protect you, sustain you, and guard you. The Lord make his face shine upon you with favor and be gracious to you, surrounding you with loving kindness. The Lord lift up his countenance or his face upon you with divine approval and give you peace, a tranquil heart and life. Would you come and let's join in prayer? How many believes God can remember something? Let's pray over our dinner. It's not coming for 45 minutes. Lord, we thank you for dinner, and we pray that you'll bless it, and that you'll bless our fellowship, and especially bless Bobby and Sherry today, your presence and your power, Lord, and let them feel our love and appreciation. I pray, God, that you'll strengthen us all as a body. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So now you can pick a bite off of the line and eat it. We're going to have Spaghetti Factory. And we love Spaghetti Factory. You get that good broccoli and the bread and the salad and, What's that? It's in there on the counter. So you'll enjoy dinner. Everybody, welcome. We're going to have probably more food than we can eat, and so you can have hopefully second and thirds, whatever you want. And we appreciate Bobby and Sherry, and we want to give them a small token of our appreciation, and we want them to remember the good times that we've had here at Calvary Temple. Now, How are we going to do this? Y'all have to come back. I'm sorry. I apologize. Now, you don't have to read the card. You can do that later and reflect. But you have to open the present, because that's kind of the important thing, to see what that is. I you might even know already what it is. But something to remember us by. Yes, we want it to last. It's chimes. And we figure you hang it wherever you want to, and just remember every time you hear that beautiful sound, Calvary Temple loves you. And we're praying for you. But you don't have to take it out and hang it up just to hear it. Somebody said you can listen to it on the phone. Do you have anything you'd like to say? God bless y'all.
She says I need a microphone.
Then we will give you... Oh, man, come on. There we go.
I just told Debbie I probably shouldn't have put on mascara this morning. As all of you know, I'm sure, we got married in this church 40 years ago. We tried to move away 2 years ago, you know, and it didn't work. But everything's fallen into place this time. And even though it may not seem like it right this second, I'm actually very excited about going. I don't like change, and yet I am looking very much forward to this. But we will miss all of you. And I also wanted to say a very special thank you to Debbie, because without her knowing me, I couldn't have led songs. I couldn't have done it, because she was always the one that made me sound okay. I would have sounded terrible without her. And the longer I did it, the more I croaked, and you guys already know that already. So anyway, but I just wanted to say thank you. And we will miss you, every one of you.
The hardest part of the whole thing is leaving our friends and our church family. The first time I was here, we were sitting on wooden benches. And I was here with my brother and sister-in-law, and I knew Debbie and Terry, and I remember it was a friendly church, and I remember Bob had his Engelbert Humperdinck red satin shirt on, and walked down and asked me to sit with him, and it just started from there. And it's been a lot of years. And like I say, the hardest thing is leaving the people behind. But we'll see each other in heaven someday. We'll be reunited, and we'll never have to leave each other again. Amen. But thank you.
Amen. Absolutely. I'll tell you one more little personal story about Bob. When Doug was born and we brought him to church, he always stayed awake in church. He went to sleep when he was 2 months old one time when Bob Deanna was holding him. And I thought, wow, that's amazing, because, I mean, he did not, he wanted to visit everybody, even from a baby. But I thought he must have felt comfortable, and I appreciate that. It's hard to say goodbye to family, it's hard, and especially our family in church. But we do wish you the best. I mean, absolutely blessings and strength during the move and everything to work out. Nothing hurt. Everything even enhanced as you go on to that next adventure. And we'll see you for a Friday night, hopefully soon, and dinner out. God bless you guys. We've already prayed for the food. Bad news is it's 40 minutes away. But you can come and fellowship, Bob. Oh, you can. You want to do it up here where the microphone is? Oh, that's neat. We love chimes. Debbie and I have a whole string of them. We love chimes. But this hopefully will be clear for you to hear what it sounds like. Oh, I was so excited. No. We don't want to. We don't want to.
Sorry, it was delayed.
That does sound good. Put it right there.
It's delayed.
That does sound good. We'll pray for just enough wind to move the chimes and not to disturb anything else.
Thank you so much for those. I've been wanting to accept for a long time, but I was too cheap to buy.
Lord bless you. God be with us. And we can go ahead and get you a water or a soda or something. We have lots of food and even more coming. So God bless you. You love haggis?